Me okay?
Yeah, good. I've got a notice that I'm going to read, so I pray it hope won't be clinical. It will come across hard because Philippa was intending to share this, but obviously she's in Sunday Club. So it's in regards to mini club. Do you know what I mean when I'm talking about mini club? It's what we other places might call creche. Okay, so this is to do with noughts to twos. And she says, as God's people, we seek to welcome all ages and provide the best opportunities for all to integrate. We wish to be truly God-honoring, worshipping and welcoming family. Therefore, we aim to offer appropriate provision for all age groups. The vision of Sunday Club is to support and complement what parents of church children are doing as they seek to bring up their children to know and love the Lord Jesus. It also seeks to introduce non-church children and their families to the basics of Christian faith. Therefore, it is not a passive babysitting service, but an active battleground for extension of God's kingdom. So we have the 0 to 2s, we have the 3 to 6s, which is the midi club, and the 7s to 11s, which is the maxi club. But mini club has great opportunities for showing God's love, stories and singing songs. It's been unable to fully function and give good provision due to lack of volunteer helpers. If you feel that God is calling you into this corner of his harvest field, then can you also please see Philippa today? Because it's not about taking little ones and dumping them out there. So it's all nice and quiet here. We are family on mission together. But it does mean we all have to benefit from being family together. So you might not even have a baby at this present time, but you feel that you might want to help the wider family to be on a rota to help support parents with the mini club out there. It's not about doing it for the parents. The parents will be on the rota because that's part of their responsibility in having children. But if you feel that God might stir you, maybe to do the occasional mini club, you will be actually advancing the kingdom, because that's the way it works in God's family. And we're in a building that is increasingly becoming constrained. So we have to be tolerant as family with one another in that, okay? We have to show grace, and we have to maybe bite our lips sometimes. So we want to be a family that supports and encourages. But also, we have responsibilities as parents. If children are noisy, then we're saying, look, we don't want to banish them, but maybe even in a worship time, you might need to take your child out just till they calm down and then bring them back in. They're just being children. And sometimes we're just being adults in how we respond. So it's about working as family together, okay? So maybe God might be stirring you, that you might want to play an active part in helping. So you'll notice today, on the whole, that they will go out, mini club, at 10:30, because they will be involved in the worship that the Sunday Club does. I think it's important what Philippa said. It's not a passive babysitting service. It's an active battleground, even at that age, to extend the kingdom of God. Okay. Can I have the slides up, please? This is week 2 of our Sun Stand Still series. If you missed week 1, you can go to the members section of the website and you can hear Eric share week 1 of Sun Stand Still. There's also slides and handout notes from there. But I just want to say, we don't look to do series like this to fill gaps in the year. We only do something like this, like we did with Just Walk Across the Room, when we really feel challenged and stirred by God. This has come on the back of what Mick Nash said a couple of weeks ago. Both Eric and I were very much stirred by this last session at the Global Leadership Conference. When you think it's the last session, we're all getting tired and maybe we've heard what God was saying to us. When actually, Steve Furtick stands up and it just hits you between the eyes what he's saying. Not because of who he is, but because what God is saying to us. And you know, faith is a big part of our lives, is it not? And if it is, and it should be, as we will see. And we're not doing this series to do a whole new approach to faith. It's encouraging us to activate audacious faith. Now, when you see a word like that, you can all think, oh, well, it goes off. All audacious means is brave, uninhibited. Approaching God with confidence, faith. It's about going deeper in the faith that we already have to inspire us to ask God for the impossible, both as individuals, but also as a church in the journey that we're on together. That's why we feel it's a very relevant series for where we are. So, the in-depth title of this morning's talk is Ramen Noodle Revival. Now, I'm not sure if that's quite how you say it, but that's how I'm saying it this morning. So, Ramen Noodle Revival. What is a ramen noodle? That is a packet of ramen noodles. They're wheat noodles. It's a Japanese dish. Beef and also fish broth. So, none of you are going home this morning. I've got 1 ton of it out in the kitchen. And it's all going before we go. But we'll come back to them later. I know, your appetite's just stirred now, hasn't it? So, it's... But here we are at week 2 of Sun Stand Still. And you know, I suspect, I can't confirm this, but I suspect one of two of us might have already written ourselves out of this series. I don't have a page 23 vision. It's what Eric was talking about last week. Basically, is I don't have a calling, I don't have a mission in my life that I feel is from God. I don't know what that is, so... maybe this series is not for me. You know, exercising faith is something others do, not me. It's not what I'm good at. Sun standstill experiences, I hardly see the sun rise in my life, let alone stand still. What on earth are we going on about in this series? Well, perhaps, yeah, I've heard of the extraordinary moves of God, but that's hardly likely to happen to me or through me. I'm just an ordinary person. Who feels that they're an ordinary person here this morning? Be brave. Those that didn't put their hands up, you can now come up and speak the rest of what I'm about to say, okay? So, who feels an ordinary person here this morning? Good-o, that's good. I don't mind if you do. Oh, it's God's moving. You know, maybe we feel we lead ordinary lives. But that's great. Not because you lead an ordinary life, but that's great because that's just the sort of person that God does the impossible through. As Eric explained in week 1 last week, this Sun Stand Still series is based on a prayer in Joshua 10. A prayer that affected both time and space. God making the day longer, which is physically for us impossible to do, to reveal his glory in a response to a prayer that Joshua prayed. Now, the purpose of this series isn't to make our days longer. Okay, we're not praying to make longer days. Okay, that's quite... I know something to do with it. No, a sun standstill is just symbolic for the seemingly impossible things that God does in ordinary people. Who's ordinary? Yes, good. So that's in me and you, and in our everyday living, in the lives that we lead. But it needs us to be a people of faith to be able to do that. A sun standstill prayer applies audacious faith to a clearly defined need or goal that requires God's supernatural involvement. And it's appropriate for any area of our lives. It's not just the big things of church. It's not just the big things in our life. It's every area of our life. It's not just the super spiritual stuff. God works the impossible in everyday living. Look at some of those areas. I'm not going to read through them. They're areas that touch our everyday living. Well, the God of the impossible is able to work in those areas of our life. In fact, I know that there are people seated here this morning who have seen God work audaciously in their lives in this last year. They will give testimony when the time is right. But there are people here who have seen God's supernatural involvement in their lives. People from Staffordshire, even. How about that? God making the impossible possible. But really, we shouldn't be surprised, should we? Because we come to the God of the impossible. For nothing, I felt that was worth a slide of its own, worthy of a slide of its own. For nothing is impossible with God. But what does that mean? What sort of God is that? Where nothing is impossible for him. Now, I took that on Etching Hill. No, I didn't. That is, for those that don't know, that is intergalactic space. Okay? There's no Star Trek. Okay? There's no USS Enterprise on there. That is intergalactic space. And I've put that out because I'm going to read you something in a minute that puts into context what our God of the impossible is capable of. So listen to this. When you think that the moon is just over 100,000 miles away from the Earth, Pluto, the farthest planet in our solar system, is nearly 10 billion miles away. And travelling even further, 50 billion miles, that's more than Trevor's car's done. Only just, but it is what the scientists call interstellar space. And even it reaches distances impossible for us to imagine. There you find the Proxima Centauri, the nearest star to our galaxy. It's just 25 trillion miles away. Not even the 825 bus goes there. It's that far. Just to reach that star by space travel, traveling at the speed of light, it would take an entire human lifetime to get there. And beyond that, we find what is known as intergalactic space. You'll have to trust me, that's what it looks like, because I have to trust the bit that said on the bottom of the photograph, that's what it looked like, okay? It's the space between galaxies. And beyond that, there is absolutely no ending. So can you imagine a place where no human telescope can discover the contents of its black scape? A place where no human will ever go. Distance is so vast and great that no human mathematical equation is ever going to measure it. And then realize this, that God is bigger than anything that I've just said. Just the mere whisper of his voice created it all. It wasn't anything to do for God to create the structure, the universe, and everything we will ever discover about it. It just was not a big problem for God. It didn't even break him into sweat creating what I've just described. When we hear that, doesn't it put into perspective that really in our lives nothing is impossible for God? Just think about that. You think God who created all that, do you think it's difficult to work in our lives? No. I don't think so. It's why you can see Jesus could quite easily say to the disciples in about being who can be saved when he said this. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Remember, we're talking in the context of God's will when we're talking about what is possible. But in that context, there is nothing that God cannot do. Now apply what I've said, what I've just said, the God of the universe created, no sweat, no problem. Apply that to your dreams, your possibilities, your circumstances. Apply it to that, what lies beyond human reasoning and your abilities. Audacious faith, activated by our seemingly impossible prayers, is a channel that God uses to override our impossibilities with his power. Hear that? Audacious faith activated by our seemingly impossible prayers is the channel God uses to override our impossibilities with his power. Because everything is possible for him who believes. But it's also important to understand, on our part, audacity is not an activity, it's approach. This is what we're trying to learn from this series, is our approach to God. Not an activity. We're not trying to copy what Steve has done or his church. That's activity. It's the approach that we come to in the same God that he has seen move mightily in his life. It's a deep-rooted conviction that all things are possible with God. It's not about what we do, it's how we approach God. It's all about faith. We were saved through faith, were we not? Yes? And we're called to live lives of faith, are we not? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, that struck me afresh, even though I've read that verse I don't know how many times in my life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I found that a very re-sobering thought, that actually God expects us to live lives of faith, on the edge with him. Living faithful lives to the full. Audacity isn't qualified by what you do. So it's not qualified by who you are, what your role is. It's not about being a big charismatic person, whatever one of those is. It's about how you do what you do. It's not reliant on your skill or your personality. It's about your approach. So that means that none of us actually should be discounting ourselves this morning in regards to audacious faith, in our brave, uninhibited prayers to God. Because it's not about who you are, it's not about what role you have. Because audacity isn't an activity, it's an approach. And God works through ordinary people like you and me. I don't know all them, because I can't see them. But they are ordinary people. Everyday people. They're not superstars. I'm not a superstar. Are you a superstar? No. We're just ordinary people. But Scripture confirms that God works through ordinary people. He not only uses ordinary people, but he uses people that we would probably least expect him to use. Here's a few. They're well known to us, because God did extraordinary things through them. Here was Moses, a shepherd in exile and a murderer. That's a good start, Lord. And what did God do with him? God used him to lead Israel out of bondage and to the promised land. Extraordinary acts through an ordinary guy. Gideon. Gideon was a farmer. And yet God used him to deliver Israel from the Midian. David. David was a shepherd boy and the last born in his family. Just an ordinary guy. Yet he became Israel's greatest king. Are we beginning to see a bit of a pattern here? Mary. Mary was a peasant girl, yet was the mother of Jesus. Matthew, a tax collector. Boo. An ordinary tax collector. Yet he became an apostle and a gospel writer. Peter. Peter was a fisherman, yet became an apostle, a leader of the early church, and a writer of two New Testament letters. ordinary people who God extraordinarily used. So why do many of us, as believers, default on the potential to God see the to do the impossible in our lives? Why do we default on that? Why do we never come through on that? Well, besides a lack of faith, perhaps, I might suggest, for some of us, we think that God only does the impossible through extraordinary people. You know, that's something God does through the big full-time guys. The guys who we read the books of, the guys who we see on the telly. And perhaps there's a subconscious separating between those in full-time ministry and the rest of us. But if you carry that through to conclusion, actually that thinking is saying that you see yourself as a part-time Christian, because part-time ministry, part-time Christian. Jesus didn't die on a part-time cross. Jesus died full-time for you and for me. Yes, some of us, I speak for them, earn our living through the kingdom of God now. But otherwise, our approach, my approach, is no different before I became full-time. Whether it's at home, family, whether it's in our community, our church, we should all be full-time for Jesus Christ. He gave it all for us. Should we not give it all for him in putting him first in our lives in every aspect? Otherwise, we start defragging our lives. God is God in this part, but in that part, well, that's for the full-time God. Where does it say that? Where does God say that? He doesn't. Because this is who God says you and I are. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is very part-time, isn't it? A people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's how God sees you this morning. I don't see any part-time in that. See, and another issue is sometimes people think, oh, well, when I'm full-time for God, I'll be able to do this, this. No, we are full-time. You've entered into God's kingdom. You are full-time for God now because you are a royal priesthood. You are a light upon a hill. You are salt to this earth. And it's in living out everyday lives fully for God that God ignites the ordinary. I'm going to read you a quote now. I've used it before. And it's from the book. But I'm going to say it quite a few times this morning, because I want you to hook on to it. Extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. It doesn't matter, as I've said, who you are, or what you do for a living. If God lives in you, you have the potential for audacious faith. For brave, uninhibited faith. Let's go back to Moses. His extraordinary feats all began in an ordinary day's work. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that through the bush, though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So here was Moses, this big high flyer, at the heart of the social scene, well connected. Here was Moses in the outback in a desert, doing a mundane job of caring for his father-in-law's sheep, when suddenly God came in and ignited the extraordinary in his life. He wasn't a big high flyer at the time. God just broke into his ordinary day's work. But it led to extraordinary feats in his life. George Williams. Ah, yes, you're all nodding. George Williams. Who is George Williams? George Williams was a draper. Do we know what that is? I didn't. I had to look it up. That's because I'm so young. Yeah, that's why it is. It says a draper is a wholesaler, or especially a retailer, of cloth, mainly for clothing. So that's great. We all know George Williams now. It's not the George of Asda, okay? Not that section of the clothes. This is a different George Williams. Who was George Williams? George Williams founded the Young Men's Christian Association in 1844. Here was an ordinary draper, a retailer of cloth, a wholesaler of cloth, who God ignited in him a real concern and passion for the spiritual condition of the young men around him. Extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Now, okay, this in some ways may have lost its way a bit now in the present, but today it still has some 45 million members in 125 countries. Isn't that a slight extraordinary work of God through a little draper guy in 1844? The Salvation Army. We all know about William and Catherine Booth, how God ignited in them a passion for the poor and those around them. But it didn't just stop there doing extraordinary revelation of God as they were doing this. Because it says, originally Booth named the organisation the East London Christian Mission. Not got the quite same ring about it, has it, as the Salvation Army. The name the Salvation Army developed from an incident. William Booth was dictating a letter to his secretary, George Scott Railton, and said, "We are a volunteer army." Bramwell Booth heard his father and said, "Volunteer? I'm no volunteer, I'm a regular." Railton was instructed to cross out the word volunteer and substitute the word salvation. An ordinary event in an ordinary day of someone dictating a letter, and suddenly an extraordinary name of the Salvation Army is born out of an ordinary act. Do you believe God can do that in your life? He uses ordinary people, so none of you are discounted in this room. Because extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Ramdam Noodle Revival. Now, you can read more about this in Steve's book, but I felt I ought to share a bit about it, as that's what the title of this morning is. Steve and another guy called Jody were the only two white Christians and the only two who didn't play football in their halls at college. That's two quite big barriers already. They had a passion to tell the rest of that hall about Jesus. Yep, and it wasn't happening. They were white guys who didn't play football, so they were just seen as oddballs, probably. That's my interpretation, not in his book. But then one night, Steve had a revelation, a burning bush moment, when he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, "If you feed them," that's the guys from the college, "they will come." So that's what they started to do. Steve took all the money he had at that time, and he bought things like Ramdam noodles. And he said this to the guys in the hall. He said, "God put it on my heart to start giving away food to anybody who wants it. Anytime you need it, I'm in room 318. So anytime you're hungry, just stop by the room. I'll leave the door unlocked, no strings attached." That's an ordinary act, is it not? Well, by the time he got back to his hall, the guys were flooding and his food was gone in minutes. And this went on for a few months. He kept to scrape the money together to buy the food that was gone in minutes. And you know what happened? Nothing. Isn't that extraordinary? Until about midnight one night, there was a knock on his door and he thought it was yet another guy coming for food. And as he says in the book, it was the least guy who he thought in the halls would come and ask what he was about to ask in asking Steve about Jesus. Why was he asking Steve about Jesus? Not because, excuse the pun, he'd rammed Jesus down this guy's throat. but because he'd done an ordinary act of buying food for them to come and take. And God took that ordinary act and used it in an extraordinary way. And to cut a long story short, that guy gave his life to the Lord. But also, so did 12 other guys over the following weeks give their lives to the Lord. All through a packet of noodles. Isn't that extraordinary? Isn't that encouraging, though? It wasn't a blinding light, revelation, Damascus Road. It was a beef, or maybe fish, broth noodle packet that God did extraordinary things through. Extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Rugeley Food Bank started from a couple of harvest festivals and a Christmas of taking a few parcels via Jeanette around the Springfields. I believe God will do extraordinary acts through that ordinary act of obedience with ordinary bags of food, because that's the way our God of the impossible works. Ordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. So I want to encourage you, start looking around in your everyday lives, at home, at work, in the community that we all live. Is there a small burning bush that only you can see that God is trying to grasp and get your attention with? Because extraordinary moves of God begin with ordinary acts of obedience. Now, when we're stepping out in obedience, when we're stepping out praying and trusting God in faith for the impossible, there's just a couple of things I want to finish with that we need to remember. And the first is this: if you'll do the believing, God will do the achieving. We go back to Moses in Exodus 14. The Israelites had just left Egypt and they were facing the Red Sea. Then they were facing Pharaoh's army, and they could probably see the dust of it coming. So what did they have? Audacious faith? No, they were hostile and despairing to Moses and saying, we were better off where we were than where we are now. So what did Moses say? He said, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. It's a strange thing to say, isn't it? No. Because in this verse, we find a promise and a perspective. The promise is the Lord will fight for you. The perspective is you only need to be still. What area is it in your life that God needs to fight for you now? What area are you not letting him do the fight, but you're trying to do in your own strength? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to let him do it. It's hard only to be still. We need to remember that when we're stepping out in obedience with God, it's God that has hold of us, not the other way around. He's the one who is responsible for the outcome of our obedience. That should be releasing. Philippians says, God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So let him do the holding. Have the right perspective. Second thing we need to remember when we're stepping out: fear. When God does extraordinary purposes in our lives, it's not unusual to be afraid. Why? Because it's something that's out of our total control. It's in God's hands. But you know, sometimes we can misread that we become afraid and think, oh no, this can't be of God because I'm afraid. This is not right. This is wrong. But we need to know fear is a normal part of being in the situation of when we're stepping out for God, particularly when God is calling us to big change, whether that's in our personal life or in the life as a church. Faith overcomes fear when God is first in our lives, as faith leads us past fears and reassures us of God's presence. Then thirdly, we need to have a right balance. Confidence and humility both are needed in a true life of faith. We're given that example in the New Testament with the centurion soldier who came and asked Jesus for healing for his servant. When he said, the centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." That's humility, isn't it? But his confidence was, "But just say the word and my servant will be healed." Isn't that remarkable, audacious faith? Yet it was done in humility. And the other wonderful fact when we step out is we won't be 100% sure. Isn't that great? Unfortunately, it's not the way God works. If we were 100% sure, we would very much be in control and God would be pressed and pushed out. It's just not the way he works. But we're encouraged by the word when it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." We keep on trusting in his leading. That is how it is with us with a new facility. We're trusting his leading, looking for the seemingly impossible. We're climbing in faith, but we're looking for his supernatural involvement. Yeah, at times it's overwhelming, at times it's scary, but I believe the same God who made the sun stand still for a day, who created the vast universe that we but see a small proportion with our eye with, is the same God who wants to do the impossible, not only through our lives, but through us as a church. Extraordinary acts of God. We come to the impossible, but we come to the God of the impossible, who takes ordinary people like you and me and everyday living and does extraordinary acts. So what dreams, what possibilities, what circumstances lie beyond your human reasoning and abilities this morning? Let us be a people of faith. Let our approach be that we are a people of faith. I'd like you to stand. We're going to pray. Then I want us... I'm going to pray and then we're going to see what's going to happen from there. Father, I just thank you that you are the God of the impossible. Lord, I thank you that you take ordinary people like me and my brothers and sisters in this room and you do extraordinary things with us. Lord, we don't want a method. We don't want to see you create what you've created elsewhere. We want to approach you with audacious faith in believing, in being brave, being uninhibited, in believing you for the impossible, whether that's in our lives or whether that's for us as a church. Audacious faith, Lord. It's an approach. It's a heart issue. Help us to grasp it, I pray, Lord. And Lord, will you ignite the ordinary in our lives, Lord? Lord, you have burning bush moments for many people within this room, for each one of us. Give us the eyes to see them, Lord, and the belief and faith that you can do extraordinary acts through ordinary acts of obedience, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to keep standing. What dreams, possibilities, circumstances lie beyond your human reason and ability? Maybe it's something off that list there that you're waiting to see the God of the supernatural break through. Well, we want to support you, not do it for you. We want to support you in prayer this morning. What is it you're looking for God to do with the impossible in your life? Maybe that's to do with healing. I want to pray for the sick this morning. Because we are just to be faithful in praying for the sick, but I believe we come to the God of the impossible. And we're looking that whatever is in his will be outworked in our lives. I said that audacity is not an activity, it's an approach. Some of us find that hard. We're very good at the activity. It's the approach bit that we struggle with. Remember, God has hold of you this morning. You don't have hold of God. If you find that difficult to just approach God without the activity, I'd like the ministry team to pray for you also this morning. Then perhaps some of you are uncertain about the future. Maybe you're almost afraid of what the future holds. Then I'd like to pray for you also this morning. Because there has to be a right balance within our fear. Yeah, there may be uncertainty, we won't know 100%. But if it's to such a point that it means that you don't move forward, then I don't believe that's right and of God. So I'd like to pray for you also. So those three areas. What is it you're looking for God to do impossible within your life? Maybe that's healing. Maybe it's other issues, one of these issues here. I want you to start coming forward now. Audacity is not an activity, it's an approach. Do you find it hard not to do, but just to approach? Then I want to pray for you also. And perhaps you're fearful in a wrong context of what the future holds for you. You're uncertain, you're worried, you're concerned. Then I want to pray for you also. For the rest of us, I'd like to release us for tea and coffee, being mindful that Sunday Club might be on.